Wednesday, March 25th. Solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord. The first reading from Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, and chapter 8, verse 10. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask for a sign from the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the nether world, or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask, I will not tempt the Lord." Then Isaiah said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary my people? Must you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." Haydock Commentary. Ahaz was afraid of being forced to relinquish his evil ways. So says St. Jerome. The term Alma, translated virgin, is never applied to any but a young virgin. If it meant a young woman, what sort of sign would this be? So says St. Jerome. It was indeed above the sagacity of man to declare that the child to be born would be a boy and live till the king should be destroyed. But the prophet undoubtedly speaks of Jesus Christ, as well as of a boy who should prefigure him and be in earnest of the speedy destruction of the two kings. The fathers generally apply all of this to Christ. The king hardly trusted in God's mercies, whereupon the incarnation of Christ is foretold. The second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 4 through 10. Brothers and sisters, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats take away sins. For this reason, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, 'Behold, I come to do your will, O God.'" First he says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. Then he says, "Behold, I come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Haydock Commentary. The sacrifices of the former law, even that great sacrifice on the day of expiation, when victims were offered for the ignorances or sins of the priests and of all the people, were only types and figures of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. It was impossible that they themselves should take away sins, like that one oblation of Christ, though in them was made a remembrance of sins, and of the same sins for which so many victims had been offered. Sacrifices and oblation thou didst not desire, etc. That is, such sacrifices as were offered in the former law, they could not please thee, appease thy anger, nor make a sufficient reparation for sin. But a body thou hast prepared for me. Thou didst decree I should be made man, to suffer and die upon a cross to redeem mankind, and I as willingly undertook the work of man's redemption. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. That is, he taketh away what I first mentioned, the imperfect sacrifices of the law of Moses, that to them might succeed the sacrifice of Christ. The source and primary cause of our sanctification is the will of God, who so loved the world as to give us his only Son. The meritorious cause of our sanctification is the voluntary oblation of Jesus Christ, sacrificed for us upon the cross. The Gospel from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with the man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. Haydock Commentary. The word Miriam, or Mary, is expounded by St. Jerome from different etymologies, to signify in Hebrew the star of the sea, and in Chaldaic, lady. Both interpretations admirably well agree with her, who is the glorious Queen of Heaven, our patroness and star, to direct us in the stormy ocean of this world. St. Bernard says, O you who find yourselves tossed to and fro in this tempestuous life, turn not your eyes away from the brightness of this star, if you would not be overwhelmed in these storms. If the winds of temptations arise, if you fall among the rocks of tribulation, look up to the star, call upon Mary. If you are agitated and hard driven with the surges of pride, ambition, detraction, jealousy, or envy, look up to the star, call upon Mary. Let her name be never absent from your mouth. From your mouth let it constantly descend into your heart. And that you may obtain the suffrage of her prayers, both in life and death, never depart from the example of her pious conversation. Mary enjoyed the greatest share of divine graces granted to any creature. The Lord is with thee by his interior graces, and now at this moment is about to confer upon thee the highest of all dignities by making thee truly the Mother of God. The Catholic Church makes frequent use of these words which were brought by the Archangel from heaven, as well to honor Jesus Christ and his Virgin Mother, as because they were the first glad tidings of Christ's incarnation and man's salvation. They are the very abridgment and sum of the whole Gospel. It may perhaps in the first instance of reflection appear shocking to our ideas that a God should dwell in a human body. But does not the sun emit its rays into all kinds of places without any detriment to its purity? How much more would the Son of Justice, assuming a most pure body, formed of the purest blood of the spotless Virgin, not only remain free from the least stain himself, but even impart additional sanctity to his Virgin Mother? So says St. Thomas Aquinas. How shall this be done, since I know not man? She only asks about the manner. This answer, as St. Augustine takes notice, would have been to no purpose had she not made a vow to God to live always as a virgin. The angel tells her she shall conceive, but she insists upon her virginity, holding her purity in higher estimation than the promised dignity. So says St. Gregory of Nyssa. She did not doubt the truth of what the angel said, but she wished it might not happen to the prejudice of her vowed virginity. So say Saints Ambrose, Augustine, Venerable Bede, Theophylactus, and others. The second person of the ever-blessed Trinity, being united to our human nature, remains unchangeably the same God. It must needs be true to say that God was born, that God suffered and died for us, and consequently that the Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the Mother of God. Seek not for natural order in things that transcend nature. You ask, how shall this be done, since you know not man? This, your ignorance of man, is the very reason why this will take place within you. For had you not been pure, you never would have been deemed worthy of so great a mystery. Not because marriage is bad, but because virginity is far more excellent. The common Lord of all ought in his birth to have something common with all mankind, and still something different. He was conceived and born in the womb, like the rest of mankind, but he differed from them in being born of a virgin. So says St. John Chrysostom. With all modesty and humility of heart and mind, the Blessed Virgin consented to the divine will, and from that moment in her was conceived the Savior and Redeemer of the world. Thus ought the Virgin, who brought forth meekness and humility itself, show forth an example of the most profound humility. So says St. Ambrose.